Let's pray. O God, may the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Bible is not a book. It's a library, an anthology. And this should excite us. Coming to the Bible as a library rather than a flat book can enrich our relationship with these sacred texts. When we go to the library, we don't expect to find any one thing, any one point of view, any one genre. We don't expect everything to accord neatly with historical facts. Nor do we expect everything to be woven out of whole cloth for no apparently good reason. Now, the library, it serves as a safe haven for people warding off boredom. People, the library saved some of y'all this summer. I know it. People in search of information and edification. For people in need of sanctuary. People who need to get out from off the streets. And when we recognize the Bible as a compilation of various traditions, stories, musings, and theological apologies of the divine activity and hope that so many people have discerned and carried throughout the ages, we connect with the great hall of faith in new and exciting ways. The presence of these traditions and whatever diversity might exist within them, it shouldn't pose a problem for us, but an opportunity to investigate the many journeys that people have taken to the narrow way of Jesus. Within the stories of Jesus that have been preserved in the gospel accounts included in our Holy Bible, some stories and sayings are presented in more than one record. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell of a certain type of interaction about a combined three times. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 39, then again in Matthew chapter 16, verse 4, there's another one in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, and then a fourth less explicit time in Mark chapter 8, verse 12. And in these interactions, people ask Jesus for a sign. And he says that the only sign that he'll give them is the sign of Jonah. Matthew's first mention of the sign of Jonah is explicit in its reference to the time spent in the belly of the whale as a comparison for the time that Jesus is eventually going to spend in the belly of the earth. However, the next two times that we see this pop up, they're a little bit more vague in this reference. It just says that the only sign I'll give you is the sign of Jonah. And I can appreciate a little mystery in the text. I like it. I like going to the text with my questions. I enjoy the opportunity to wrestle with the eternal. Armed with nothing but the word of God and my sanctified imagination. And when I go off in search of meaning as far as this sign of Jonah is concerned, one thing becomes increasingly clear as I wrestle with this text. And that is God's desire for global salvation is a nearly unbelievable truth. See, God isn't just trying to save whoever we think the good guys are. God is restoring all of creation. And I'd like for us to reflect on this morning's reading from the first chapter of Jonah through this lens of expansive salvation. For the rest of this month, we're going to be exploring the book of Jonah for a series entitled The Signs of Jonah. But for the next few moments that we have together, I want to speak with you all about a theme we're just going to call, but I don't want to. You see, one of the things that I have come to enjoy about my time here at Raleigh Mennonite Church is the mornings that I spend with the Bagel Boys. For the unfamiliar, it's a men's group that meets on Wednesday mornings at the ungodly hour of 6:30 in the morning, mostly in Zoom, but sometimes in person too. We talk about all sorts of things, the weather, theology, Stan's work on their garage, wherever the spirit leads us at an hour that we absolutely should not be meeting. Need to be very clear about that. I don't know if God is meeting us at that hour, but recently, my poor sleep hygiene came up. We discussed how my alarm goes off at 4:15 a.m. every weekday. And we wondered what would possess me to do something so insane, and how my wife tolerates this microaggression. And the truth is that I set my alarm that early so that I can exercise and get a decent start to my day before I have to navigate around human beings. Sometimes people be getting in the way. Just want to get up before them, you know? But that's right. You can't tell by looking at me. I exercise fairly regularly. And the reason that you can't tell is because my diet is pretty, we're going to call it festive. I know a lot of the things that I need to cut out of my diet and the things that I need to add to my diet in order to achieve a physique that would indicate that I exercise as often as I do. But honestly, I don't want to. I like to eat the things I eat. That's why I eat them. And I don't feel like counting calories. It's a bunch of other things for me to worry about in life. When I go to the gym at 5 a.m. while most people are still in bed, I feel more disciplined than my generous diet would indicate. But at the end of the day, the performance that I put on a few days a week in the weight room doesn't do much in the face of the stubbornness I show when it's time to eat. The impact of me not doing some of the things that I know I'm supposed to do often cancels out the effects of me actually doing some of the right things. I've been Jonah before, hearing the Spirit of God and deciding to run the other way, knowing I went too far in an argument and choosing to savor the win instead of apologizing, seeing someone experiencing a tough time or homelessness even, holding a literal sign, maybe even with a message from God, and choosing to look right past them, being a party to gossip that I ain't have no business being by, being a little entertained nonetheless. Yes, I've heard God clearly and chosen to head the other way. But if you, like me, are vulnerable to operating in the spirit of Jonah instead of the spirit of God, then I've got some news for you this morning. Saving people ain't never been your job. And God gonna do it regardless, even if it's in spite of you. And when we look at Jonah, we see that God can work salvation through wayward people and stormy conditions. You see, when I speak of salvation, I'm not talking about a get out of hell free card. I'm talking about deliverance from the consequences of a life lived with no compass nor compassion. I'm talking about liberation from a matrix of systemic oppression and destruction. When I speak of salvation, I speak of remission from a sin-sick society. I speak of the cancellation of the harm we inflict on ourselves and others. Talking about emancipation from the traps that we walk into ourselves and the hells that we've cast others into. And in Jonah's story, we see a God committed to the salvation of a people who don't even know this God exists. This God is determined to save these people and committed to their wholeness. And to that end, there are three things that God sends in this part of the story. God sends a word, God sends a storm, and God sends a fish. Now, when it comes to sending a word, the word that you need may come through strange prophets. We see this at the beginning of Jonah's story, where God calls a man to go to a people that he's not even in community nor communion with. He sends him to deliver a message of judgment. I don't have a problem admitting that I probably would resist this message a little bit from this type of stranger. Like, I don't even know you, which means that I right now at least don't like you. Why are you talking to me right now? I might have some problems with this message, but that doesn't preclude God from using such a person to speak to us. And who knows whether that person is even cooperative enough to give us a chance to be hard-headed, which is why the introduction that we need might come through strong storms. In verse 4, the Lord hurls a powerful storm, a wind over the sea, causing this violence in the waters that threatens to break the ship apart. You see, when Jonah refuses to play his part in the redemption of Nineveh, God visits him in a storm. And the thing about storms is that everyone in their path feels the impact. If you're not a part of the story of redemption, then you are a part of the story of destruction. So it's important that we choose wisely. But another thing to consider here, and the last thing that we'll consider today, is that the way out of the depths might look like death. You see, the story tells us that after God had arranged for this great fish to swallow Jonah, that Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Now, pause real quick. If I end up inside of a fish, like right now, like if a fish comes and swallows me, and I spend 10, 15 seconds, I think I learned my lesson. That's enough time inside of a fish. We don't belong inside a fish. That's not how the human biome or the fish biome, none of it. It's not a convenient marriage at all. 3 days and three nights inside the belly of the fish, the very vehicle sent for Jonah's deliverance from the deep waters of the earth, felt like certain death. You don't spend that type of time inside the belly of a fish and think it's for a prosperous life. When Jesus speaks of the sign of Jonah, he points to the time that Jonah spends in the belly of this whale. And sometimes I worry that we lose track of that reality because Jonah sounds like a cool kid's story. But Jonah kind of died. After God sends a word, and after God sends a storm, God snatches Jonah from the destruction of the deep waters, even if the way out looks unconventional. You see, deep down inside, I know when I'm eating in a way that's not good for my body. I know that. And with my family's medical history, I should really take this more seriously and practice more discipline. I'd like to be around for my children a little while longer. And so the other day, God is able to work around my wayward palate. I was trying to order pizza from what has become my favorite pizza spot in Raleigh. I wasn't going to say it because they didn't pay me. But you're right. It's Frank's. But no matter how many times I called, I couldn't get through. It was very frustrating. And then we discovered that the spot that Frank's was closed because apparently when your pizza's that good, you could just shut down for 2 weeks for vacation and they just let you do it. And after everything that I experienced in that moment, all of the frustrations, after ignoring everything that I knew about my diet and should be doing, I found myself in a situation where I couldn't even feed my impulses the way I wanted to. The problem was I was still hungry. And wouldn't you know it, that the only food that I found at the house ended up being a whole lot more nutritious than the pizza that I was trying to get my hands on for a whole hour? And in that moment, I couldn't take the wide path of destruction, even if I knew what the right thing to do was and just didn't want to. My hand was kind of forced. And sometimes that's what salvation looks like. It might take some getting used to, but the God of the universe is an unconventional God. It can be tough to attach a method to the madness, but God can work salvation through wayward people and stormy conditions. The incarnation of Jesus shows us that there's no distance too far for God to travel to set things right. And when it comes to seeing all of God's children and all of God's creation restored to wholeness, God will use any means necessary. Even if the person in the mirror, the person we've cast as the main character, is stuck in stubbornness, no matter how well-reasoned that stubbornness may be, even when we don't wanna, whether through natural, supernatural, or even fanciful means, God will save by any means necessary. And that sounds like good news to me. I know what I'd look like if I did what I was supposed to. What might the world look like if we did the work that God called us to? Jonah doesn't provide an easy moral lesson about how we ought to respond to the Spirit of God prompting us to do things that we don't want to do. Jonah merely holds up a mirror to many of us. And my prayer is that as we look at our reflections in Jonah, by the power of the Spirit of God, we might be transformed to look more like Jesus, a body of people who do the things that need to be done, even when we don't wanna. May it be so.